Ladies and gentlemen, can we have quietness? It's good to welcome you all today. We're delighted that so many of you have been able to come, some from a considerable distance, to be present with us this afternoon. It's a great pleasure to have you all here. Now, there's a number of people who haven't managed and yet have sent greetings. I'll start off with a greeting that comes all the way from Hungary. It comes by phone, which is always a bit more difficult for us older people. This is one addressed from the victors in Heitsa to Bill Scott. When this gentleman, Mr. Victor, was told about it, he said, "Oh, I'll have to come over by plane. I'll fly over to this event. I'd love to be present and I'd love to make a speech, and Mr. Scott really deserves it that I would be there." So we had to persuade him that maybe it wasn't a big enough event that he should fly all the way over for this. But maybe when he's 60. But this man will probably be 100 by then. He's already 90, I think. So, anyway, he says, "Dear Bill, every blessing on this momentous milestone. We are thinking of you with love and thankfulness. God has used your ministry in a beautiful way in Heitsa, and today we see the blessings of the work you started many years ago. Many here heard the gospel because of your work. You were younger when the mission of the English camp started here. Many are older now, including us, but the work you started never grows old. The rest of the work belongs to heaven now, and you are a crucial instrument in the hand of God. We pray you remain young in spirit, preparing joyfully for heaven, knowing that we will never grow old there and will no longer be hindered by language. If not here, we see you again there. With love, the victors from Heitsa." And the greeting comes with a Bible verse, Acts 15 verse 7. "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." So we're very thankful for that message. The Reverend John Angus Gillis, I saw him last weekend. I was preaching up in Inverness. He's from the island of Skye, and he was a close friend all his life with Donald MacLeod. And he asked me to convey my congratulations and good wishes to both of you, to Bill and Donald. He himself last year celebrated his 60 years in the ministry and still preaches occasionally, although he's over 90 years of age. He preached there in Inverness about 3 weeks ago. So we're very thankful for that greeting. Reverend Ian and Mary Smith, "We rejoice with all God's people for the long and faithful ministry exercised between you at home and abroad. You have unblemished track records as ministers of the gospel. What a model you have been for younger ministers to follow. May your joint jubilee be to the glory of our God, to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, to your own encouragement, and to the joy of all your family and friends. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Reverend James McGuinness writes, "Personally and on behalf of the congregation of Lochalch and Strath, I would like to record our thankfulness to the Lord for his calling, equipping and sustaining you through these many years of the gospel ministry. We rejoice in the Lord's faithfulness in working in and through you. At a point when I hadn't spoken to anyone about it, and on quite separate occasions, you both spoke warmly and encouragingly to me about entering into the ministry. This challenge which you both brought was certainly used by the Lord, and although I didn't find it comfortable at the time, upon reflection I am very thankful for your part in my Christian experience. I am also very thankful for the kind and gentle ways of both Mrs. MacLeod and Mrs. Scott that they patiently sought to encourage me when first conducting services in Arran and Dumfries. May the Lord continue to uphold you in your faithful service for him. And Harley and Sue Cameron write, please accept our warm congratulations on this special occasion. Our thanks to the Lord for your commitment in serving our Master so faithfully over the years. And then there's a message from the Southern, a message from the Presbytery of Navarre and Aragon, composed by the congregations of Pau and Ruby. Pau in France and Ruby in Spain. We're very pleased to send our warmest congratulations on the Lord for the 50th anniversary of the ministry of Reverend William B. Scott and Reverend Donald N. MacLeod. A whole life spent in the service of the Lord of the Church is an impressive testimony for several generations. In his faithfulness, he has promised a full gracious reward to his faithful servants. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jorge Ruiz and Hugues Pierre. So there's these greetings, and no doubt greetings from many more. Perhaps now Reverend Graham Craig would make a presentation to Mr. Scott. There's an envelope there.
Okay, I'll find it. Mr. Scott, we are here today, and we give thanks to God for the 50 years in the ministry that you have completed. And although I know you would say that you've not been a perfect example, you've been a good example to us. We would all agree with that, and we give thanks to God for that. And I was wondering, what did I say to the Reverend William B. Scott? As I thought of that, I began to wonder what B meant in the name. And I've decided what it is. Well, for me at least, it's Barnabas. When I think of you, I think of you as a Barnabas, a son of consolation. He came from an unlikely place, from Cyprus. And, well, I suppose for many of us, Pennycook would not be where we might be expecting a faithful gospel minister, especially in our own church, to be from. But the Lord has his people from all sorts of places, and we rejoice in that. I was struck by how today we are noting two very men from very different backgrounds. One, the son of a gospel minister, the other the son of a miner. But we're thankful the Lord draws people from different backgrounds, different experiences. And the reality is we all have different experiences of God's grace to us. Earlier this week, as I was speaking to you of someone that I had visited who seemed to have come to faith without going to church, you reminded me that it was 6 months after you were converted that you ever thought of Christians going to church. Many of us would be staggered at such a thought, but it's a reminder the Lord works in different ways. And it is good that this is the case. I think of you as a missionary in Peru and throughout Eastern Europe and Spain and France, an encourager of the churches and of the brethren. I think of you as a preacher, loving to preach the truth of Christ. I won't go into detail about the last time you were in air, but you weren't feeling very well. And despite the obvious difficulties that you had, you preached and you upheld Christ before us in a lovely way. And I think that's a testimony to the one who you love and the one whom you have sought to set forth over the years, the Lord Jesus Christ. Discomfort, well, when we think of you just getting up into the pulpit, we know it's not easy, but it's wonderful to see you wanting to do that, and we long that that will continue. What an example to me and to other ministers. You're an encourager, a son of consolation, a big-hearted man. Sometimes I can feel quite cold-hearted and unsympathetic, but I know that you're big-hearted, and we thank God for great hearts or big-hearted preachers who are always seeking to help others, whose home is a home of kindness and whose desire is to reach out to others with the gospel of grace. It's good to be an encourager of others. You're also a principled man. Barnabas was one of those who stood up and said, the Gentiles don't need to be circumcised to be part of the church. And that wasn't an easy thing to do, to stand up with Paul and say, these things aren't right, and you end up with them involved at the council, first General Assembly in Acts 15. And well, you too have in love stood up for the truth and been an example to us of one who is prepared to take a stand, perhaps at a great cost, for principle. I shan't detain you, but you're also a presenter, always encouraging us to sing praise, and that reminds us of the one who you want us to praise, and the one whom you wish to praise yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to boast of men, but we do give thanks to God for the gifts he has given to his church and to you. And I suppose we can say, from our point of view, well done, good and faithful servant, and it is our prayer that you will be spared long to continue that work. We're thankful for the good work of Isabel, your wife. She is, as ministers' wives are, the one who is behind the scenes and keeping things right, picking up the pieces. Not saying that's true of you, I know it's true of my wife. Not saying it's true of your wife. But just to be there, we are so thankful for faithful minister's wife. And thankful also for Mrs. Scott, the way in which she has, over the years, taught us in psalmody. We know that will continue so long as she is able. So it is our prayer that the Lord will be with you, that he will sustain you, and that he will keep you in usefulness to the church. Often you may feel that you're not being much use, but you're being a great deal of use, and we rejoice in these things. So today we mark 50 years faithful service. We give thanks to God, and all we can really do is give a small token of our appreciation. I've been given an envelope. I know there's something else apart from this envelope, but
pictures.
I know that. I didn't know this.
Give the envelope.
I shall give you the envelope, and you'll get the other thing later. And we trust that the Lord will continue to bless and keep you. There we are.
Right, that must be this.
And this is for you.
Give the blessing.
Do you wish to reply?
Perhaps if the folks from Arm have to go, I should reply after.
No, I think
it's a reply.
You're okay. As long as you don't carry on for half an hour.
I hope, Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't carry on for half an hour. I might go on for half an hour. My wife told me the night of my ordination, before we left for Peru, that she'd never seen me scared in my life until that night. I was absolutely terrified. And swimming a river in Peru at night in the pitch black with a strong current and a little dog swimming beside me to keep me up and take me out at the right place on the other side, that was nothing. To have a Kalashnikov with a bullet put up the spout, shoved in my stomach, going from Hungary into Romania, that was nothing. But preaching Christ, seeking to lift up Christ, and to know that godly men were setting me apart to do that for my life. What a Saviour we have. He reigns in majesty, in love, in kindliness. All the kindliness of the power of God is given to us in the gospel, is given to us in Christ. And I commend Christ to you today. Little did I think that when I was brought to Christ, that I would ever be standing in a position like this. And as our dear brother said, for 6 months I never went to church after I was converted, because I didn't know Christians went to church. But then a little girl, I can't say she fluttered her eyelids at me, she didn't, but the first time we came together, was in the Royal Scottish Academy of Music in Glasgow. We had put up a notice, another brother and myself, anyone interested in a Bible study, come to such and such a room. And I remember a big yin and a wee yin, two lassies coming into that room. And I knew in my heart that the wee one was my wife. And I often call her my walking concordance. Brought up in the Free Church, all her days with grandmother, father, grandparents, loving the Lord, she knew her scripture and her catechism. And even today I'll say, oh Isabel, I think it's the third line of a psalm goes like this, and she'll tell me what the psalm is. Her father was presenting into his 90s from memory because he had gone blind. Imagine. We'll start in Psalm 119 at verse 107. Is there a presenter here would know what to sing without a book? And it's when Christ is in the heart. You don't need to know what to sing. And you don't need to know what to say. I remember many, many years ago going into a florist shop in Dumfries and asking that the lady would prepare a bunch of flowers. You didn't get them in the supermarkets in those days, and they were quite expensive. So she said, is it a funeral? I said, no. Is it for your wife? I said, yes. Anniversary? No. Birthday? No. Oh, she's not ill, is she? No. she said, "Well, why are you buying your wife a bunch of flowers?" And I said, "I'll tell you, only because you asked. I've asked you to make a bunch of flowers up to £5. That's my last £5 note. I won't get any other income for at least another 10 days. There's food in the house, there's fuel in the car, and that's my last £5 note." 3 months later, I got a phone call. "Are you the minister that buys his wife flowers with his last £5 note?" I said, "Well, I have done that. Will you come and see me?" As a young teenager, she had been brought to Christ. Not a Christian family. She wandered away from the Lord. She had just discovered that she had 3 months to live with cancer. She came back to the Lord in those 3 months. And, oh, did she blossom. And I had the privilege of taking her funeral service. If Christ is ours, we don't need to worry about the words. And we don't have to be preconcerned about what is going to happen, because the Lord will do it anyway. I'm really sorry that Donald isn't with us today. The only thing that I'm in front of him is because I started the college a year before he did. In everything else, he is far in front. Perhaps except it's presenting, because he did present for the students one day and he said, "How did I get on?" I said, "Well, it's an interesting tune. I think it's called St. Mixture." But there are two men in the ministry who have had a most profound and lifelong effect upon me. Donald is one. And when I told him that, Donald being Donald, hadn't a clue why. Oh, his steadfast love for Christ. And the other is sitting looking at me just now. And I have never told him. But that's my brother Ian McKenzie. I thank God for you, Ian. And the memory of you has kept me many a time. Layman Fred Kelling, an elder in the Brethren, the only Reformed Brethren elder that I ever met who wasn't into the rapture and other such things, he led me to the Lord Jesus, and what an influence. Fred always had two or three Timothys around him. And he would say, "Right, we're preaching the gospel in such and such a hall on Saturday night. I want you, James, to open the meeting. I want you, George, to give a word of testimony. I want you, Dick, to give a word." And he discovered that Dick couldn't preach for peanuts. But what a gift he had in opening up a meeting. And the other brother, his gift was prayer. And he encouraged us and taught us without our knowing it. That was the church in the days when the Free Church College and Seminary wasn't established. You had a couple who took Apollos and showed him a more excellent way. And I would say to my brother here, Stuart, look for the old folks in the Free Church Continuing. And that's where you'll learn what the Free Church Continuing is and what it has cost God's people to be faithful to him. There's too many, but Danny Szabo from Hungary. Oh, where do we start? I can't start because I'd never finished. Danny introduced me to Papa and Mama Victor. And what didn't come over today is that Papa Victor's great-great-great-grandfather worked with Rabbi Duncan in Budapest. And the one who worked with Rabbi Duncan his son, his son, his son, and his son all became pastors in the Reformed Church in Hungary. And I have a photograph of a photograph of those five generations in one photograph. And it is something to see the little one, the youngest, perched on his daddy's knee, going right up to the man who worked with Rabbi Duncan. I was with an old lady once, and she said, "Do you know the name of Thaw?" And she mentioned the man, the Hungarian Jew who wrote lectures on the Hebrews.
Adel Safar.
Safar. And I said, "Oh yes, I've used his books in our college." She said, "I have here a two-volume copy of Adel Safar's work on Hebrews that he gave to my uncle. And my uncle gave them to my husband. My husband's long gone. I think you should have them." That girl would have been a great aunt of Papa Victor. And in that wonderful family, Victor, it was a Jewish name, and it was quite a name in Hungary. Oh, dearly beloved, it's a lot easier preaching, because then you just speak of Jesus. That's all. There's somebody else that I'm missing here today, apart from our son who's got COVID, and that's John and Margaret McPherson from St. Columbus. But we've got Mary. Now, as far as I know, that's John and Margaret's daughter. As far as I know, I'm the only one here that calls her not Marigold, not Mary, but Marigold. I knew her when she was a bump in her mummy's tummy. John made a big impression on my life as well. I learned a lot from John McPherson. Ach, the brethren man ran out of words when he was preaching in the open air. And finally he said, "You ken, it's better felt than telt."
Thank you.
Mr. Gracie will now make a presentation to Don McLeod, but Don's not here, so we're thankful that his son Callum is here with us. Callum's Donald's older son, and he's here with us today to receive the present.
Moderator, fathers and brethren, it's a great privilege and indeed a pleasure to be here today and to make this presentation. My own personal family and your father, and indeed your family, are intertwined in so many ways over the years. It begins, I think, with my wife in Portree High School, and her dentist was your father. And Katrina says at that time, Mr. McLeod, Donald McLeod was exactly the same as he is today. Now, she doesn't mean his ministry is pulling out teeth. It's that he was then such a humble and gentleman, even as a dentist, before he ever went into the ministry. He then went to Ullapool, of course, and in Ullapool, one of the congregation there went into the ministry, and that was Farquhar Rennick. And Farquhar Rennick, of course, didn't come with ourselves in 2000, but they have kept the communication between them, as far as I understand, all these years. And I think that says something about Donald McLeod, because although he was a man of principle and he came with us, yet I don't think there's anyone, even among the Free Church people, who would ever say a bad word about Donald McLeod. He is such a gentleman that even those, our brethren in the Free Church, would have the highest regard for him, as we all do here today. He left Ullapool, of course, and went to the best congregation in Glasgow. That was Duke Street, or Grant Street Free Church. That was the best congregation in Glasgow. Now, there were some people laughed there, and that's because some of them think that Partick Highland was the best congregation, but they're deluded. They're deluded and needing psychiatric treatment. But and there are quite a number here, in actual fact, that from Partick Crow Road that would say Partick Crow Road was the best congregation.
Definitely.
But they're in denial. They're in denial. He went to Grant Street. Now, when my father was an elder in Grant Street, and I can say this honestly, and nobody would contradict what I have to say, my father held Donald MacLeod in the highest esteem of any minister that he knew in the Free Church. And that was so when he was in Glasgow, and then when they went to Skye, he continued all his days to hold Donald MacLeod in the highest esteem. So much so that when my father died in April 2000, your father was asked to go on a cord at the funeral, simply because we knew that that's what my father would have wanted. He held your father in such high esteem. He would have done anything for Donald MacLeod. He really would have. And that was proven one day, because my brother's very, I warn the congregation here, my brother is very good at mimicking people. And one day he phoned home, and my father answered the phone, and instead of speaking in his own, he spoke as though it was Donald MacLeod. And my father was taken in, and he was telling my father to do this, and my father was saying, "Oh yes, Mr. MacLeod, I'll do that. Yes, Mr. MacLeod." Some of the most ridiculous things, but my father was agreeing, until eventually he asked a step over, and my father sort of twigged that this is not Donald MacLeod. But Mr. MacLeod then went to Arran, and I can tell you that the Arran folk, the people in Arran, should have a great debt owing to Donald MacLeod. He went there and he took services there for them. He's lived there and he's been a great help to me. We go down to Arran. We always go down and we visit with them. And your mother is, I think what Katrina puts is, she is an example to any young minister, a minister's wife, as to what a minister's wife should be. She says that about Isabel Scott as well. She says that about Isabel and your own mother. Your mother is, and we remember today not only your father, but your mother. And we all pray and are thankful to the Lord for 50 years of faithful gospel ministry. Mr. and Mrs. MacLeod have been an example to young ministers, even to older ministers, all of us, an example of ones who love the gospel, love the Lord, preach the gospel. And we pray today that they would continue many happy years continuing together. And it's a great pleasure then for me to make this presentation to you on behalf of the presbytery. I don't even have the envelope, let alone the... Well, Callum, on behalf of the presbytery, and you take this on behalf of your father, we wish you every blessing.
Well,
thank you.
We were preparing a wee family celebration for Dad for his 90th birthday just back in December. And each time I spoke to Dad, he said, "Now, there's to be no fuss." So he would be very cross with me if I made any fuss here. And I can't say the things that he would say, but what I do want to say is to pass on his thanks. And his somewhat ambivalence about not being here. He again, each time I was speaking to him lately, he would say, "I'm not looking forward to it." I know that he's grateful, and he does regret not being with you today. So on his behalf, thank you.
Thank you, Colin. I remember I first met Don MacLeod in 1967 when I was a schoolboy. Went with my brother-in-law Maurice Roberts here, my dad and some folk from Stornoway. We went over to communions in Portree. At that communion, Professor John Murray was preaching, and also Murdo Macaulay, who was a famous preacher, minister in Bach at the time. And I remember being introduced to the dentist and his wife, as he was called, and finding them a really lovely couple. And his own dad was there then, but suffering from a stroke. And just not very long after that, back home in Stornoway, I remember our delight when people were telling us that the news came through that D.N. MacLeod was applying for the ministry. And he was somebody who was highly thought of in his congregation in Portree and wherever he has been since. So that's a great privilege. And I was thinking of Mr. Scott there. His first congregation was Moyobamba, and I remember going to Moyobamba once in Peru, and there was an old lady there who looked after us, and she provided dinner for us, and it was slightly unusual. In this country, maybe you kill the fatted calf, but there it was the fatted guinea pig that was killed. So it was fried guinea pig and rice, which was delicious. It was very nice indeed. And the other thing I remember was through the night, the croaking of the frogs. All night, the croaking. And then about between 5 and 6 in the morning, suddenly, you know, as the rays of light came, the cocks started crowing everywhere, and transistor radios blaring, and noise everywhere. You know, the little town was coming to life. But we'll conclude. We have to excuse those who are going to.
Please excuse.
Yes, indeed.
Never let it be said that the folk on Arran can't stay the course.
No. It's a great pleasure. Great pleasure having you here with us. Yes. Yeah. Good. Every blessing.
Mr. McLeod, before we conclude, we have a cake here.
Yes, indeed. There's got to be the cutting of the cake.
I don't know how we're going to organize.
Mr. and Mrs., is it? We were a little bit uneasy at the thought of Mr. and Mr. Cutting the cake, but maybe Mr. and Mrs. could do it for us. Might be better. So perhaps if you would, the two of you, yes.
Well,
two of you.
Will we bring it over, Mr. Scott?
No. Sorry. Can't
come out as well. So hold on.
We first cut a cake 58 years ago on the 8th of July.
No, I didn't. You didn't cut it.
No, we'll use it for the next time.
To kill people. No, there's no rush for people to go. But there's bags of open
food. Now, folks, there's no rush for you to go away. There's lots of food around. It's a shame if it all goes in the bin, so if you can there are bags available, and you can take food with you. It's better that it be taken away and used rather than disposed of. And we'll formally conclude this part by the singing of Psalm 133. Mr. Gracie will lead us in the singing Psalm 133.
Life that shall never